The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
We come to you this morning in just solemn grievance as two of our Razzball favorites have suffered injuries. Wander Franco and Yordan Alvarez injured. We're waiting to see what happens here, Gray. This is the Razzball Fantasy Baseball Podcast, by the way. I am B-Don. That's Gray Albright. Gray, are you doing okay? Are you hanging in there?
Just once. Can I figure out what I've been doing wrong?
Wander Franco, man, and Yordan Alvarez. This is awful. This is really like, this is terrible. This is like, what is life really? What is this? What are we doing here? Why are we suffering? Why do we suffer? Why would we be put on this earth to suffer? This is like translated straight out of the Torah. This is really just like so painful. You know, honestly, like the Wander Franco, I go over in my roundup for the weekend news. Who am I? Dennis Miller. As I go over in the roundup on the Wander Franco injury, you know, on the player rater, I think he was like 250th overall. So I have him in a bunch of leagues that I'm doing okay in, no thanks to him. So losing him is going to be like not ideal. Yeah, I don't want to lose Wander Franco. I was hoping he would come on and do well. But I mean, losing Yordan Alvarez, if we do lose him for an extended period of time, that's going to be the old crusher. that's going to be like the old molar ram reaching into my chest and pulling out my heart and holding up the beating heart. It's just like if we lose Yordan Alvarez for an extended period of time, I don't know, man. This is not going to be good at all. I have Yordan Alvarez in so many. I mean, he's carrying me in so many leagues. It's so frustrating that, like, as we record this, I should say that we don't know how bad Yordan Alvarez's injury is. So, hopefully, it's just like they're going. You know, the latest I heard was the Astros sent him back to Houston to have his hand checked out. That does not sound good at all, but I don't know. Maybe they'll do x-rays or whatever you do with hands. I'm not a doctor. I don't know. Maybe he'll, you know, it'll come back and it'll be like, oh, it's just sore. It's just a little bit of swelling and it'll be okay. You know, it won't be a major thing. And, you know, with Wander Franco, like I said, I mean, we know for a fact Wander Franco is going to be out for a while. And I mean, it sucks. It really does. But like I said, I don't think anyone was really counting on Wander Franco for so far this year. So, you know, whatever you've done to fill in for him up to this point, just keep doing it because he ain't coming back.
Yeah, I mean, Wander was doing fine for real baseball. You know, he wasn't striking out. He's taking his walks. Actually, walk rate wasn't even that high. But, you know, you definitely had some expectations that he was going to kind of find it again and figure it out. But, yeah, Yordan Alvarez is a huge loss. I mean, he's 26 home runs. He's hitting over 300. Runs and RBIs for days. I mean, it could be a big loss. We don't know yet on Yordan. We're still waiting to hear what that looks like.
He's like, Yordan Alvarez right now is top four overall on the player radar. And, you know, we'll go over, next week we'll go over my top 100. That'll be the podcast next week. And, Yordan Alvarez, I don't know where I have him ranked right now, but he's definitely, it depends on what the news is. You know, if the news is good, I could still see putting Yordan Alvarez in the top 20 or so, even though he is, you know, going to be starting the second half on the IL. If his hand is okay, Wander Franco's done. I mean, I feel like outside of maybe, like, you know, obviously in a keeper in a dynasty, you hold on to him. But outside of, like, leagues deeper than a 15-teamer, I don't think Wander Franco's even, like, even in a 15-teamer mixed league, I don't think Wander Franco's worth holding on to. I mean, what do you think? I mean, I don't think he is.
Yeah, I mean, it always depends. If you have IL spots open, you know, there's a lot, you know, worse ways to use your IL than holding on to Franco. But yeah, even if it's 6 weeks, if his injury takes 6 weeks to heal from, that's another week, 2 weeks in rehab in the minors. So either way, you're kind of looking at 8 weeks. So it's 8 to 10 realistically, which puts us September 10th, September 15th, somewhere in that range. So yeah, I mean, we're looking at him maybe having 2 weeks of play. Yeah, if you're in a roster crunch, if you don't have IL spots, you have guys that are coming back sooner that can give you production, then yeah, I think I'm with you. The Wander's not necessarily a hold in a redraft straight format where, you know, again, he's not coming back until the very end of the season.
Right. Yeah, no, completely. I think if, like, Wander Franco, even if he comes back like September 1, it's still like, you in redraft leagues, unless it's a super deep redraft league, you can find someone to replace Wander Franco for the last month of the season. I don't see any reason in like a 15 team mixed league or shallower, unless, like you said, you have like an IL slot and you're like, okay, I can stash him for now, but nah, man, you've got some good fortune if you have IL slots at this point.
Yeah, I mean, like, say in our RCLs, we have 3 bench spots, 3 IL spots. So in that kind of league, you really do have to have that spot open. And even then, he's probably going to get booted out at some point for somebody else. You just have to kind of accept that. But yeah, Yordan, you're hanging on to until we get more news. Hopefully it is better than the news we got from Wander. You know, we'll talk about a couple of the guys that have come in to fill their spots in the lineups, or not necessarily their spots in the lineup, but, you know, that are getting playing time because of those absences in the waiver wire. But yeah, that sucks. I know that Yordan's on a number of my teams, as you mentioned, Wander as well. But Wander, you know, he's kind of been in and out of the lineup for most of our teams as is, because especially in a shallow league, you can find shortstop, middle, infield all over the place.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think on our shout out to our YouTube channel. Hey, what's up, YouTube channel? YouTube.com/RazBallFantasy. On that, I did a video with Billy talking about replacements for Wander Franco. So people can go there and subscribe, please. Subscribe.
Yeah.
But some of the guys I mentioned, I think I mentioned like Josh Rojas was one guy. Andres Jimenez is still oddly available in some leagues. Ahmed Rosario, in non-Guardian leagues, Paredes on the Rays is probably a decent bet to keep playing now. They're also the Rays called up a guy. You want to go over him?
Yeah, we can go over him. I was just going to throw a few more names since we were already kind of throwing out some names for replacements in some other leagues. Jonathan Scope has been stealing bases almost at a John Birdie level recently. Jose Iglesias has been getting more playing time. Ellis Andrews puts together like a week and a half of good play, and then he sucks for a week and a half. So if you just kind of ride the curve, you'll get kind of mediocre production from Elvis Andrews. So just
I'm convinced that like so MLB did some sort of weird tie-in with the Elvis movie and Elvis Andrews. I don't believe that's out of nowhere. I think there's something going on.
They're giving him the 2019 balls.
This is like when they covered the second base with like a web for a Spider-Man tie-in. There's something weird going on here. Yeah. I wanted to say, like, Jonathan Scope, the fact that he's stealing bases, like, I think almost 9.5 years into his career, and now he's stealing bases. What was he doing for the last 9.5 years, man? Like, he could have stolen a base, like, going back the last decade? Ah, man, that guy pissed me off.
Yeah, and I don't know where they came from. Like, he hasn't really stolen all year, and then all of a sudden he puts up four in 10 days. Like, in 10 days, he's put up four stolen bases.
What kind of crap is that? All of a sudden he can run? Like, what are you doing, man? You on greenies? What's going on, bro?
Apparently, you know, the Cleveland-Chicago White Sox back-to-back is just where you need to target your stolen bases, because even Jonathan Scope can steal against Cleveland and Chicago White Sox right now.
No, yeah, seriously.
All right, so you want to talk about the Rays prospect coming up. Let's talk about Jonathan Aranda, number 84 overall on the Itch's list, as he writes, "Oh, look, it's a well-rounded, ready-now Rays prospect with loud outcomes." I almost listed him as a first baseman because that's where he's been more often than not this season. Jonathan Aranda is coming up. He did AAA this year in 72 games, 13 home runs, 4 stolen bases, 53 runs, 57 RBIs, 330, 403, 546, 19.7% K rate, 9.8% walk rate. I mean, he's been great this year. As Itch mentions, he has some high outcomes potentially, and he's good across the board here. What do you think of Aranda? What kind of leagues are you potentially looking at picking him up in?
Just about zero. I think his name sounds too much like Jonathan India, first of all. that's a problem, okay? But, you know, like the Rays also had, let's see, Vidal Brujan. Oh, yeah, he's going to be great. Oh, great. Okay. Josh Lowe. Oh, yeah, he's going to be awesome. Oh, Josh Lowe. Yeah, terrific. Oh, let's see, who else? Oh, like, you know, the Rays have tantalized me too many times now. I'm not falling for another banana in the tailpipe of the Rays team. Like, it's enough already. Like, they're liars in Tampa Bay. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I was saying in the roundup again that's going to be out on Monday morning, I think I compared him to like a real young, cheap potential Ty France as what he could do. So he's got some power and he's got a really good hit tool. So he could hit probably, you know, he could probably hit 280 with neutral luck. I don't trust the Rays, honestly, to play him. They just like Kevin Cash specifically. They just don't play guys like, you know, they platoon everyone. And the prospects they do call up are rarely played. I mean, look at Vidal Brujan or Josh Lowe. I mean, both of them are, you know, I mean, they were really highly touted. And Brujan got sent down. Lowe is just like, I mean, he is basically a platoon guy. He homered on Sunday, so maybe that's the start of something. But yeah, I don't trust Kevin Cash to play Arenada. And even if he does play him, I don't know if he's really going to, like, to say a guy's going to be good right out of the jump and also get everyday playing time, like he might be fine, but you might also just be better off grabbing like a Josh Rojas in most leagues, you know? Like, it's like you're chasing upside on a guy who A, might not play, and B, if he does play, I mean, he's a rookie, so you might not get anything from him. So yeah, I'm pretty down on Arenado. I think he could be fine, but I'm not picking him up anywhere, to be totally honest.
Yeah, I think you could grab him in deeper leagues. I'd say 15 teams and beyond, because you're right. He's probably going to end up getting platooned in one way or another. I don't know where that ultimately looks like for him if he ends up playing some first, second, third DH.
I mean, honestly, the first, sorry not to interrupt, but like if he's a lefty, so immediately there's no way he's ever playing against lefties. I mean, that's totally off the table. There's no way Cash will ever play a lefty versus a lefty. I mean, he didn't even, you know, there's guys that have been in the league forever that he won't play just because they're a lefty, you know? So, I mean, that alone, he's automatically going to be out against lefties. Whether he plays against righties, I don't even know if that's going to happen. Anyway, you were saying?
Oh, I was just saying he's played first, second, and third, so he could potentially play at a number of spots to get him in the lineup. Yandy's a righty. Paredes is a righty. So there's potential spots where he can fit in the lineup. I think Harold Ramirez is one of the DHs right now for them. He's a righty, along with anybody else, you know, that is on the Rays bench. Could always coming up and moving in to wherever. But yeah, he could move around. So he could potentially get some interesting eligibility. So that's something, I guess, in deeper leagues. But yeah, I'm worried about the split as far as him playing time. And just like the upside that we're chasing here isn't like a top 10, top 20 prospect. He's still top 100, so there's still upside. You're definitely, I'm not saying he's devoid of that, but we're not talking about like must be rostered because he's going to change the world here. I say that he's probably going to go off and be crazy this year, but that's just my thought. I'm with you. It's not like a 10 team shallow league guy.
Right. Agreed.
All right, let's talk about the Boston Red Sox top pitching prospect, Brian Bello. Between AA and AAA this year, 14 starts, 85 innings, 2.33 ERA, 1.03 WHIP, 12.1 K per 9, 3.5 walk per 9, 97 mile per hour sinker, changeup, slider, 3-pitch offering. Itch hates pitching prospects, as does everybody in the prospect realm, because, you know, one arm injury and all of a sudden their value just tanks. But, you know, he is the top pitching prospect in the Boston system. What are you thinking about here with Brian Bello? Are you adding him in leagues more so than Aranda?
It's Bayo.
Bayo?
It doesn't look like it, but it is, which I know because I streamed him for his last start, and that went awful. That couldn't have went worse. So I know how to say his name because that's what I was screaming while he was pitching. His stuff did look good when he was able to command it. He wasn't able to command much of anything in that one start. I honestly don't know how long he's going to be in the rotation. Maybe he stays in it. Like, if he pitches well the next time out, maybe he stays in the rotation. But I kind of doubt it, because if the Red Sox are in contention, which they are, they're probably going to go out and get somebody. I mean, I don't know who. I don't know who's on the market, but someone. I don't know. I mean, Jose Quintana is going to be pitching for the Red Sox maybe in August. I don't know. I honestly have no clue, but I doubt if Bayo stays if he looks as bad as he did last time, it's probably going to be his last time out in the rotation for, you know, maybe for the year. I don't know. I honestly don't think he's long for the rotation. And if he is, then maybe in a 15-team mixed league, but more than likely, It's like you're looking at matchups no matter where he's starting. You know, no matter what league you're in, you're probably looking at matchups. Even in a 15 team mixed league, if he stays in the rotation, you're probably gonna like pull him out of the lineup if he's going against someone, a good team. So yeah, I'm not really, you know, I'm kind of with Itch on this when it comes to like pitching prospects. I mean, you're better off with like, I know we're going to get to them in a little bit, but you're better off with a guy like a Cueto or a Quintana versus like a Bayo, you know?
Yeah, you are just kind of chasing in the pitching prospect realm. Obviously, we've seen some that come up and do well, especially when they have just incredible stuff like Bayo does. He can get away with it, especially upon coming up. But yeah, he just didn't have control. I think I'm probably a little bit higher on him than you are, just more of a sit and wait and see if this kind of pans out. I mean, it's not like they have obvious choices at the current moment to take a spot, but they have a number of pitchers coming back. They got Sale, Rich Hill, Eovaldi, Waka, all on the IL right now, all coming back. So it is a short-term thing, likely. Again, if he comes up and pitches much better than that first go around, which is very possible, could have just been nervous first outing, I think he could lock up a spot, because I don't think they're necessarily committed to anybody in that rotation necessarily. It's not like anybody other than Sale is paid like they have to be given a rotation spot. So if Bayo continues or does show something, I think he's a little bit more worthwhile, but still, definitely not something that you have to hold on to if you're making moves or if you're using him as kind of the streaming option.
Right.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All right, let's talk about a couple of the Chicago outfielders returning on both sides of Chicago. Eloy is finally back. He's looked okay. The numbers don't really show it yet from a production standpoint on our side from fantasy, but he's hitting the ball well. Are you buying the rest of season if somebody's down on him at all, or is this a situation where, you know, he's just been injured for so long, it's kind of hard to really trust him to step right back into it at least?
Yeah, I mean, he was like a guy who I struggled with a little bit when I was ranking him in the top 100. He is in the top 100. That's not giving too much away, I hope, because, I mean, he is, you know, if he's healthy, he is worth, I think, a top 100 pick. But where, you know, even if he is like, I don't know, if he's healthy and he gets 250 at-bats the rest of the way, what does that translate to, really? Like, you know, it's, I don't know, maybe 15 homers and a 265, 270 average. I mean, it's not bad. Is, you know, he really, like, dramatically different than, like, a lot of other guys who you can probably get off of waivers? I don't know. Maybe. It depends on, you know, how hot a Rob Refschneider gets or something. You know, it's like, it kind of depends on your league. And I do like Eloy still. I would probably even trade for him because, you know, if he stays healthy, he's in a decent spot in a good lineup to get counting stats and, you know, probably, you know, like I said, maybe 15 homers won't kill you necessarily in average. He doesn't give you any speed, so he's fine. I you know, I like Eloy. I'm in I like him more short term, knowing that he's healthy going into the second half. I mean, assuming he stays healthy, which I guess we shouldn't assume with Eloy, but assuming he stays healthy, he's probably worth a top 50 to 70 overall type if you were redrafting. in the second half. You know, I don't necessarily think he's going to be like amazing. Like, I don't see like an Aaron Judge half coming from him. Unfortunately, I think he's probably like, if he were redrafting in March and he was going to be healthy all year, I feel like you can't really project him for more than like 30 homers and a 265, 275 average with zero steals, which is good. I mean, that's definitely worthwhile, but that's starting to sound a lot more like he's a number three-ish, you know, a number two to number three outfielder versus like the number one, I think, we thought we were going to get, like, you know, coming into like, you know, going into like 2021, I guess, you know, I that sort of shine has worn off for me. I mean, maybe he gets there again at some point, but at this point, I'm not really like, I'm not sold on Eloy being a number one outfielder anymore. I mean, I would have to, at this point, I think I have to see it to believe it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think he's fine as a one if you're, you know, if you've kind of built up around him or at other positions. You know, I do think he's probably good for average and power when he's healthy. My concern is I don't think he's healthy yet. He's already sat out Saturday for general soreness. Not great, but not unexpected. Let's talk about some guys here. Would you take him or Ryan Mountcastle? Who's kind of that pace, like 275.
General soreness was my commander in the ROTC in high school. If you believe Gray Albright was in ROTC in high school, you'll fall for anything. Would I take who, Eloy or who?
Ryan Mountcastle.
Man, that's a tough one. You know, I think I have Mountcastle above Eloy in my top 100. I don't know, though. They're super close, you know? Like, Mountcastle actually – so this is kind of interesting in a side note. Mountcastle was a guy who people mocked me for drafting in November. In my first NFBC league in November, I drafted Mountcastle. And there's a lot worse picks I made – in retrospect. So I'm not saying that team is doing well, but people mocked me for taking Mountcastle back in November at like 75 overall. And, you know, as I was re-ranking my top 100 now, I feel like Mountcastle is still like around the top 75 guy. Like, we'll talk about this next week, but I don't know if, like, Mountcastle's not bad. I mean, it sucks that the Orioles moved the fences back out of Maryland, so that's not good, but Mountcastle's not bad either. Like, I almost feel like I take Mountcastle. Like, it depends on the size of the league. Like, if it's a deeper league, I think you take Mountcastle because he's safer than Eloy because Mountcastle stays on the field. But if it's a shallower league, I could see going for the Eloy upside. They're super close, though. All that said, they're close.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think that's well put. Is, you know, the league is going to matter because I think Mountcastle's health plus his dual eligibility, he's first base outfield, whereas Eloy's going to be for outfield only. You know, that helps in the deeper league. So there's definitely some certainty. But yes, I do believe Eloy's upside's higher. I think he can hit for better average. I think the power in Chicago is better. So I just think he's a better player overall, at least until Mountcastle gets out of Baltimore, since they just decided just to destroy everybody's power in Baltimore. Although it hasn't affected Mountcastle as badly. Let's talk about the other side of Chicago. Seiya Suzuki, our golden boy, has finally returned. Nice return so far. 22 plate appearances, 7 hits, 2 home runs. I mean, he probably actually hasn't hit the ball as hard in his return as we've seen from Eloy, although his numbers look better. But, you know, again, the numbers look better on Suzuki. What do you think in rest of the season?
Yeah, I was actually just when you're talking there, I was looking up Seiya Suzuki on the Player Rater, and whoo, that's not good. Oh man, that's bad. Actually, he's about as valuable as Trent Grisham. Remember that name? Wow. At 380 overall on the player rater, obviously Grisham hasn't been hurt for 6 weeks, so that's even worse for him. Suzuki's right there with Miles Straw. Oh God, Javier Baez. Man, these are some sad names down here at near 400 overall. Oh, Lucas Giolito. Ouch. Oh man. Okay. Anyway, Suzuki. I think he's actually, because of Wrigley's so good for in the summer, July, August, for guys in Wrigley. I think there could be a little bit of opportunity for Suzuki to have a decent second half. I don't know if he's got he doesn't have I don't think he has 15 homer half type power. I think probably I would say maybe 11 to 12 homers. It's close enough to 15, I guess, but 11 to 12 homers and a half, hit maybe 260 with maybe five steals. That's not bad. I think that's probably near top 100 overall for a second half. That's not terrible. I wouldn't go out and trade for Suzuki because I don't believe in the upside as much as I did in the preseason. Now that I've seen what he's able to do, I don't know. I mean, maybe he shocks us and has a great second half, but I've definitely cooled a little bit on Suzuki. I don't know if it's there anymore. This huge upside that we were all anticipating. He hasn't done it in really outside of a first week of the season. And, when he first returned from the IL, maybe he needs 4 months off in between at bats. I don't know. That ain't going to work, though. So, I'm okay with Suzuki as a third or fourth outfielder. I no longer believe in him as a first or second.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm probably pretty close to where you are. I'm probably giving him a little bit more credit. Maybe that's just me being a homer as a Cubs fan. As you mentioned, I mean, he's hit 279 in April with four home runs. So far in six games, he's had two home runs. So it was really in that May period. I'm giving him a little bit of a pass for adjustments, maybe being injured and trying to play through it as well. So giving him a small pass there. I think I still like Seiya. I'd still roster him. I'd still go ahead and pick him up. I do think 15 home runs and a half is probably on the high end for him. That 30 home run mark is probably on the higher end for him. That's kind of what he was doing in Japan. So I would say, like you said, 10 to 15 is the right area.
Yeah, I would say in the preseason, I probably thought of him as a 27 to 30 homer guy. Now I see him more as probably a 22 homer guy. So that's 11 homers per half. So, I mean, hey, look at me with the big time math. But yeah, I mean, it's that's a different 22 homers in a season versus 30 is a pretty big difference, even if it doesn't sound like it. That's a pretty large difference. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. I will say all it would take is one good day in Wrigley, though, and all of a sudden he can get, a couple of good home run days, and then all of a sudden those numbers look better. So that's what I say. I think with just the summer coming, I think there's a little bit of upside here with Seiya, so I'm not giving up yet. Somebody who used to get the advantage of Wrigley Summers, who now has maybe the only place better to hit other than Wrigley in the summer, is Chris Bryant. I remember that guy. Is this what it was supposed to look like the whole time in Colorado? 11 games since returning, four home runs, 341, 383, 682. I mean, he's looked great now. Are we back in on Chris Bryant here? I know you've always kind of not been in on him, but I do think you at least livened up a little bit when he got traded to Colorado.
Yeah, definitely. No, I kind of see why the Rockies gave him an 8-year deal for $500 million. I mean, it makes more sense. By the way, someone commented on YouTube about us, what we were saying, like the deal, the deal for somebody. I forget who it was now. There was a contract that we mentioned. Oh, right, Freeman. Yeah, I don't know anyone's contract. Don't come to this podcast asking. Looking for contract information. I don't know. Am I sportstrack.com? No, I don't know. Freeman. Yeah. People were like mad that, like, I think we said 400 million. You ever hear of hyperbole, people? Anyway, Chris Bryant, I think he's actually. I warmed to him for sure when he moved to Colorado. Like, I wouldn't have gave him $300 million over 8 years, whatever his contract is. I wouldn't have gave that to him, but I did like him in Colorado. I do like him still in Colorado if he's healthy, sure. I mean, he's like, I also liked Randall Grichuk. That didn't work out so good. I mean, Colorado's good. Coors is good. It's not, I mean, that's not like rocket science. I mean, that's what it is. Is Chris Bryant going to be like, you know, the second half MVP for teams? I don't think so. But stranger things have happened. Like you said, I mean, Coors in the summer, if Bryant went on a streak where he hit like, you know, 17 to 20 homers and a half because Colorado is so favorable, it honestly wouldn't shock me. I mean, it's possible. I think more realistically is he has a good couple weeks and then he gets injured again because lower backs, you know, it can act up at any time. So I wouldn't go out and spend, you know, I wouldn't spend a lot in a trade to get Bryant, but if you got him, I mean, or if you can get him for, you know, relatively inexpensively, I guess it's fine as a trade guy. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's okay. He's Chris Bryant. Everyone knows who Chris Bryant is at this point.
All right, let's go with a little. Who would you rather have? Let's say standard 12-team league, like seven man benches. Let's talk about these four outfielders we've talked about here. Chris Bryant, Eloy Jimenez, Ryan Mountcastle, and Seiya Suzuki, rest of season.
I'd probably go with Eloy. It depends on the league size, but I think if you're looking for like who can be the best, I think Eloy can have the best second half. I think probably going to look at Mountcastle 2, Bryant 3, but I mean, Bryant could easily be number one if he gets hot in Coors. I think Bryant is probably 3, only because of Coors, where Seiya Suzuki, like his injury was fluky, and I don't think he's necessarily injury prone. So I would say Seiya Suzuki has a strong chance of being better than Chris Bryant in the second half. It's just, you know, if you're looking for a gamble on whether or not Bryant can be good in the second half, I think Bryant has a better chance of being good because of Coors. But Suzuki is probably safer.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen Bryant put up MVP-style numbers, so we know that's in there if he just gets hot. That's kind of what we're looking at and the difference there. Yeah, I think I'm pretty much in line with all that. I think Eloy's the highest upside right now. I would probably say if we're just looking pure upside, I think Bryant's probably got more than Mountcastle. But with the back injury, you know, I think you got to move Mountcastle slightly above Bryant just because of the safety factor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed.
All right, so let's talk about Tyler O'Neill here. He was rehabbing. He got hit by a pitch during rehab. MRI revealed a tear, so we're waiting to hear news officially as to how bad it is, what's going to happen. I mean,
oh man, yeah, what is going
to
happen?
It's been a tough year for Tyler O'Neill owners to begin with, and now this. I mean, what do you? Is it? What are we doing here with that? Let's talk about
my Amy Winehouse coaster. Let me see if she has any information as to what's going to happen.
Yeah. So without any without any big information on Tyler O'Neill, let's just talk about in general. Let's say he's, you know, it's not a big setback. He, you know, he'll be back in 2 weeks. What are you doing with guys like this who we drafted thinking that they were going to be solid members of our team? They have that upside to be a difference maker, but they haven't done it yet. Are you waiting for them to Marcus Simeon it and figure it out? Are you taking what you can get in a trade? Are you just letting them ride the pine until they do figure it out? Or are you potentially cutting them and, you know, it's time to move on?
Well, I think it depends on the player. O'Neill, I have this feeling that O'Neill is going to, this is a lost season for him. I don't have any hope for Tyler O'Neill anymore, unfortunately. I mean, he can come back and do really well in the second half, but personally, I don't think it's going to happen. I think we're looking at a lost season for him. Our bullpen guy, JKJ, brought up an interesting thing where he was saying that he thinks he's also a Cardinals fan, and he thought Tyler O'Neill was working out too much and he needed to do more like more yoga like Aaron Judge. I don't know if JKJ is a trainer, so I don't know how far that information is going to take us, but I think he might have a point. I mean, Tyler O'Neill was he's like a muscle on top of a muscle. he's like Popeye with like when he flexes, there's like little muscles that go up his arm. So, I mean, maybe there's something to that. I don't know. We're not going to fix Tyler O'Neill on this podcast. And even if we did, he ain't listening to find out. So it doesn't matter. I think Tyler O'Neill is probably droppable if this tear is his, if it comes back and the tear is going to be an actual, like, longer on the IL and a setback, I think he's probably droppable. But, you know, I would hold for now until we hear more news. I don't think it's going to be good news, to be honest. And even if he does come back, I've sort of moved on mentally from Tyler O'Neill for this season. I still like him in general for, like, a dynasty or a keeper league, but I think, unfortunately, I think this is going to be a lost season for him.
Yeah, I don't feel great about it either. I really don't know what to do with him at this point because the numbers don't look promising either. I mean, everything kind of looks as though he regressed from last year, but now we may not even get to see it. I'm going to throw a few different names at you, Gray, of guys who are kind of in this bucket though that aren't necessarily injured right now, but are struggling. They were higher draft picks. Nick Castellanos, I mean, he's been fine, but not what you drafted. Like, are you just dropping him and using an outfield spot to stream potentially, or is he somebody you just have to stick in your lineup?
Yeah, no, I think Castellanos is a hold, but I think you also have to assume the worst as far as his power coming back. I think he's you know, Castellanos, I joke that Castellanos is Greek, and I don't think he's really Greek, but he has taken on the Greek persona of Nick Markakis, which is not good. So, yeah, I'm holding Castellanos, but I don't have high hopes for him, unfortunately.
Yeah, you know, it's always been one of those things where, like, I was always hesitant to say, you know, Nick Castellanos is somebody that I'm targeting. It always felt like he was kind of a little up and down. And then I feel like last year kind of solidified it, and now we're paying for having said he solidified it. Hard hit rate's down. Everything else is kind of in line, though, so I don't know. I think you're right, he's a hold, but If you're in a shallow league and you need to make a decision on him, I don't mind moving on. I think you can kind of get his production from the wire, even if he does kind of pick it back up. I mean, what are we talking? It's kind of in that, like, 10 to 15 home run range, like we were talking. Like, unless he's going to provide some average with it or a good number of runs and RBIs, what does it really matter?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think you know, he's in a solid lineup in the three hole, more or less, I think, most games. So I mean, that probably alone is worthwhile. Let me see, actually. Give me 1 second. Castellanos is, he's at like 140 overall on the player rater. So, I mean, that's a hold in most leagues. You have to assume he's going to be a little bit better than that going forward. Maybe not a top 50 overall guy, but I mean, even if he's around like 100 overall, that's not bad. I mean, it's worth holding, I think. But I agree with you on his numbers. His like peripherals don't look great. Like, you know, he's, you know, I was joking about Nick Markakis, but I mean, he's not far off from that as of right now. Like his numbers look kind of like, I said to sell him in a buy sell, like, I don't know, maybe a month ago, maybe 6 weeks ago. I haven't changed my opinion on that at all. Like, if you can get anything for, if anyone out there is like, has Castellanos and they're in a league where, you know, like, someone isn't paying attention and they just hear Nick Castellanos and they think like last year's Castellanos, then I would definitely try and move him if I could.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in five outfielder leagues, you definitely have five outfielders better than him. But like in three outfielder leagues and points leagues, I could see it. But yes, you're right. 140 overall on the player rater, that's probably not cut worthy. More of a hold. Let him stay in your lineup in five outfielder leagues, or if you really are stacked in the outfield, he can kind of sit on the bench and see if he gets it together. Let's talk about Brandon Lowe.
Yeah, he's a cut for me. He's a cut more because of like the injury thing. I think he's just been banged up, and you know that goes back to like Chris Bryant too, because you know Brandon Lau has had back issues, so that's not good, and it's not, you know, I don't think it's going to get better. He's actually still on the IL, so. If you still have him, I mean, are you paying attention? I think you could lose him, man. I would lose Lau. Who else you got?
Max Muncy.
Oh, yeah, he's been bad.
He's been so bad. I don't have any of them, but he's been so bad.
These are some of the guys that I actually smartly avoided this year. I wasn't in on any of the ones you've mentioned so far. And Muncy, I think Muncy was injured going into the season, and I don't think that's gotten better. So, yeah, I think you can move on from Muncy. In most leagues, like most mixed leagues at least, I wouldn't be holding Muncy.
Yeah, I'm with you. I never really understood. I know there was like that optimism. Good reports came out about the injury. But that always seemed like an injury that was going to take more time than people were predicting. And since you had to say that about, you know, none of these guys being high ownership for you, I have to bring this up. Jonathan India.
Oh, I have the knife in my back. at two, B-Don.
What are you?
Jonathan has been awful. You know what? It's like he has been so terrible that even if he has a good second half, his year numbers are going to look terrible. He's been so bad. He's been like off the charts. Just, oh my God. Looking at his stats as of the recording of this, he has 3 homers, 11 runs, and 12 RBIs on the year, bro. I have guys on my team who have had better games. I think Michael Harris II has had a better game than that. I mean, oh my God. Yeah, India's terrible. Here's my optimism. Since he is a great park, he's on top of the lineup. He's still leading off. He's healthy. According to, like, you know, last reports, we'll see how far that goes. I mean, I'm holding India in all the leagues I have him. I think even if he were available in a 12-team mixed league, I probably would even pick him up just because of the potential. is still there, I think, for him to have a really solid second half. I think, you know, even maybe like optimistically, best case scenario, realistic, this is being as realistic as I can. You're still only looking at like 10 homers and a 280 average with maybe a handful of, maybe like three steals. So, you know, I mean, it's like my, as optimistic as I'm being, he's still probably replaceable in most shallower mixed leagues, but yeah, I'm holding him still. Unfortunately, I'm Tupac committed at this point.
Yeah. I mean, 10 and five with the 260, 270 average is definitely within the realm of possibility if he figures it out. Just the numbers aren't looking good as far as him figuring out. I guess I'll say in the looking at the bright side, you know, of Jonathan Indian, hoping for things to come around. You know, his two home runs have come in the last 2 weeks, so maybe there's something that he's starting to figure out. And I think he actually had one today, so I think he may be up to three.
He did, yeah. He's up to three, yeah. Yeah, he has three homers, the same as Jack Slawinski in one game. Terrific.
All right, so Indy up to three in 2 weeks, but yes. Are you holding him, Gray? We're somewhat adding him,
you know, honestly, hesitantly. I'm holding. Yeah, no, I'm 100% okay. Holding him, like I said. But, you know, honestly, if he has a bad second half, I would start to be concerned in Dynasty, and like if this is like a Keyston Herrera type sidetrack to his career. Like that's how sideways this has gone so far this year. Like this could be a situation where he never comes back from this. Hopefully he does. Like, and hopefully he has a good second half and we can be optimistic about next year, because right now, like if he has a bad second half, I don't think I'm going to be back in next year. I don't think I could put myself through this torture again.
Well, if he has a bad second half, he'll be like free next year. So I'll probably be back in just yeah, because of draft cost. I mean, the fair thing enough. That worries me is that he's not walking. You know, it's something he's always done. He's always walked and he's not walking. Like he's not striking out, which is great. He's not having that because Kesson, you could kind of see, like he was always like a 30% K rate guy in the majors, at least. Like he was always supposed to have this great hit tool and great eye, but in the majors, he was always been a 30% K rate guy. I mean, India was a, you know, a 23% K rate guy in his rookie year, a 22% in his rookie season. So I feel like he's not going to bomb out. He's not going to just be a Keston where he's going to go to the minors for like two seasons and then come back and be a platoon guy. But I'm just worried about, he's just not hitting the ball with authority right now. It's kind of what Tyler O'Neill's doing. Like for all the muscles that Tyler O'Neill has, he's just not hitting the ball with authority like he was. India's not really that guy. He's never going to be like a exit velocity leader. He's counting on, you know, the fact that he controls the bat well. He plays in a great park. So, you know, I think there's still some upside here. I'm not giving up. I think 10-5, 260 still in play, but we need his him turn around.
Numbers are so wild. India's numbers are like so wild. Like I was, while you were talking, I was looking at like his plate discipline, and his like O swing went from 22% to 30%. And like you said, with like the walks, like what is going on with that, man?
I just feel like he's not seeing it.
In the off season, are we gonna hear reports that he needs to have like LASIK surgery? Like, what's up, man? Are you seeing, bro? Yo, are you seeing this? You say India, look at, come here for a second. Can you see this barn? Because it's right in front of you.
Yeah, I mean, O swing up almost 10% or up almost over 7%. First strike rate up over almost 10% up. So yeah, I think there's just like a visual problem here where he's just not seeing it. But yes, that may not get fixed this year. Three home runs in 14 days does have me feeling a little bit better.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough.
Let's talk about somebody who's not struggling. Please. Julio Rodriguez, number 14 on the Play Raider for rest of season for Rudy. I mean, I think he's currently number four on the current player rater.
Seven.
Okay. I mean, he's looked amazing. He's got 15 home runs, 21 stolen bases, 50 runs, 43 RBIs, 274, 335, 480. Let's talk about where we have him rest of season, and then, I mean, kind of in that same breath, where he fits in 2023. I mean, he looks amazing. The numbers are great. What's there not to like about this guy?
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, if you have to try and find stuff, I guess his strikeouts are a little high and his walks are a little low, but I mean, you know, all within reason for a rookie. I mean, there's not a ton to not like. I think he could potentially be a top 10 guy for me overall next year. I don't know, man. He looks great. And it's also like he's stealing so much. And that's such a, you know, it's so rare in today's game to get a guy who can steal and hit for power. So, yeah, I mean, if he ends the year, like right now he's on pace for a 25-35 season. If he has a 25-35 season, how is he any different than like Tatis or Acuna? You know, it's like it's going to be hard. Or, you know, best case scenario, Trey Turner or like Bichette, I guess, even though I think Bichette's power is down a little bit from that. I think Julio Rodriguez is going to be near a top 10 overall guy, if not even higher than that. It's going to be hard to, if he has a second half like his first half, it's going to be hard to deny it. I mean, he looks good, brah.
Yeah.
He looks really good.
And he's not having trouble hitting the ball with authority. Like, he is hitting bombs right now. He is squaring balls up. I mean, everything looks great on him. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how he's not in the top 10, maybe top 5, top 3 next season. I mean, if we're talking about Tatis not playing all season.
If you're looking at it, if you're him or Juan Soto.
Yeah, I think I'd rather have him in a roto fantasy, like, no question. As great as Juan Soto is, like, if we're asking, like, I have to pick one to build the Cubs franchise around, I'll take Soto. But, like, to build a fantasy team, I'll take Julio Rodriguez.
All right, I know. Like, even looking at, like, Julio Rodriguez's homer per fly ball, it's not even that high. It's at 19% right now. I mean, that's not that high. And he's got, like, you know, I mean, maybe he's a little bit too many ground balls, but it's not even that bad. I mean, everything looks really good. I love him. God damn it, I love him.
Yeah, I mean, he's out here hitting like 440-foot bombs. Like, the power is not going away. He may dip a little bit, and if he hits some struggles, but like he's gonna continue to hit the ball with authority. I have no concerns about that. Agreed. Let's talk about a couple of pitchers who have had strong starts back-to-back. Spencer Strider and Tristan McKenzie. Strider actually has three straight starts, allowing one earned run over those three. 30 Ks in 18 innings. On the season, he has 65 and two-thirds innings, 102 Ks, a 39.1% K rate, a 9.6% walk rate, 2.60 ERA, 0.97 whip. I mean, he's been great, Gray. Is Spencer Strider the next fantasy ace?
Or the next Tuki Toussaint?
You really hate Braves pitchers.
You know what? I'd like the Braves pitchers if they didn't have a great one come out of the woodwork every 2 months and then disappear just as quickly. I think Strider, I mean, the times I've seen him, you know, the trouble with me with Strider and a lot of these like Braves prospect pitchers, they're never really that highly touted. And then they come up and they do so much better. And then they do a lot worse. and then they never really find their footing. So I don't know. I don't know where I am with Strider, like long term. I think probably, I mean, he looks great. Like, as far as strikeouts go, he's always struck out a lot of guys in the minor league. So this isn't necessarily coming out of nowhere. His command is so wonky, though, that I do worry that, like, it could go sideways at some point and he could be, like, a bit of a mess. So, obviously, I'm rostering him in every league where I can right now. I mean, that goes without saying. But long term, I don't know. I mean, his command is still a little bit wonky. So he's got to hold like a 13 plus K per nine to balance a 3.5 to 4 walk rate. Yeah, I mean, it's not bad. You know, even like if you look at it, like his xFIP is 2.41. So obviously he's pitching really well. I think for this year, you know, I'd worry a little bit about innings because like he didn't throw that many innings last year. I think it looks like roughly doing the math, it looks like about 90 innings last year. So he's at 65 2/3 now. So maybe he can go to like 110. 120. So, you know, you're looking at about another 55 to 60 innings, which is, you know, I mean, I would take him everywhere. I have no problem grabbing him and holding him as long as he's pitching well. I do worry a little bit about the command for the long term, though.
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely see him running into command issues where he just kind of hits a period where guys aren't swinging at the stuff out of the zone because he can't keep it in the zone. But for now, he looks amazing. I love everything about every start that I've seen of his. Let's talk about, would you take him or second half notable fall offer, Joe Musgrove?
Oh, I definitely take Musgrove. Okay. I think, you know, just because Musgrove's a lock for 85 plus innings where, you know, I don't, like I said with Strider, I don't know if we're going to get 60 plus. So yeah, I go Musgrove because I think Musgrove, while I do worry about Musgrove's second half splits career wise, I do think Musgrove can be rosterable, if not, you know, decent, maybe not the ace that we've seen in the first half. That's all with Musgrove, I think.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, I mean, to get into that territory, I mean, Strider's absolutely amazing, but he does need the innings in the second half to kind of get into that top pitcher area. Although the K's may just carry him, honestly. Let's talk about Tristan McKenzie real quick. Six innings, 13 innings in the last two starts, no earned runs. 11 Ks. He does have 6 walks. He had a little bit of a command issue in the Royals game, although he, again, 0 earned, 4 Ks in that game. What are you doing with Tristan McKenzie? He's had a solid season. The K rate has not been quite as high as maybe, you know, his fans were expecting, me being one of them. Slightly under 23%. Walks, 7.5%. So down from last year. A little bit. What are we thinking with Tristan McKenzie? Is he a must hold? Is he a streamer? I think he's probably earned at least a roster spot at this point.
Yeah, no, definitely a roster spot. You know, many people don't know this, but in his high school play, he played the part of the feather in Forrest Gump. he is quite thin. I think he's fine. He feels like I liked him going into this year too. I didn't draft him anywhere, I don't think, but that wasn't because I didn't like him. I don't know where he ended up going, but he didn't go to me. I feel like his numbers, looking at them, they're sort of like a back end mix, a shallow mixed league back end guy, like decent, definitely worth holding on to. But like, you know, there's going to be times when I think like a Jake Odorizzi stream will be better than a Tristan McKenzie start. Like there's going to be games where I would be like, yeah, I don't think McKenzie's a good start for like this week or something. So he's good. I'm not quite a streamer, but bordering on it if he doesn't get his K's up a little bit.
Okay, that's fair. And a guy I think I kind of reminds me of him, at least in the results. in the height a little bit. Would you rather him or Taiwan Walker?
Walker.
Okay. And I think I'd go Walker just because... Actually, you know what? I'm going to go Tristan because I expect Taiwan Walker will probably, you know, hurt himself playing video games or something this weekend and be out for the season because that's how it goes with Taiwan Walker. All right. Let's go ahead and move over to the bullpens. Gray, you want to talk about some of the news and some of the things that have happened this week in the bullpens?
Down in Texas, the Rangers replaced Joe Barlow because he only had a 0.99 whip and like a barely 3 ERA. I mean, what's going on there, man? Like, what? Like, that's what you want to do with your, like, is that Chris Woodward? Hey, man, what are you doing, bro? Like, what? Why was Barlow replaced? Because he had two bad outings back-to-back? It's, like, ridiculous, man. It's so frustrating. So, Brett Martin, or unless because he's on the Texas Rangers, Brett Martin. No, I think it's Martin. Anyway, Brett Martin had a he got the last two saves. He got Friday and Saturday saves. I don't know if someone got one on Sunday. Anyway... Yeah, I mean, I guess he's the guy right now. Seems really kind of silly that Barlow is replaced. I mean, talk about a blow to a guy's confidence. Like, what? Like, so dumb. Anyway, I guess Martin is the guy there. In Philly, it looks like Knebel. It looks like Rob Thomas of Matchbox 20 wants Knebel to be the closer again. So so there's that, I guess. Will Smith, AJ Minter is kind of, they're kind of splitting time. And Trevino in Oakland looks like he's getting most of the save ops, but he's like, I feel like he's almost 100% guaranteed getting traded. I doubt Trevino is in Oakland past the deadline. But that doesn't mean I really want anyone in Oakland, even if Trevino's not there. I guess if Jimenez returns, then he's fine. Paul Sewald in Seattle looks like he's finally pulling away with the job, kind of, in Seattle. But, you know, as soon as we say that, like, Diego Castillo will get the saves or something.
Yeah, he got one, I think, this weekend, actually. Although Sewald had been pitched in back-to-back games, so it was kind of an understood, you know, why Castillo's in there. But, yes, Seattle, as soon as we think we figured them out, they swap it out on us. I don't really understand the Barlow thing. Low-key, Texas actually has a really solid pen this year. So really any number of guys I think could step in and close, but it does seem a little bit over necessary or maybe just a little anxious to swap him out that quick.
Yeah, a little bit overreactive. Yep.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens in Texas. I wouldn't be dropping Barlow yet. I think eventually they end up giving him the job back. But for now, Brett Martin and Dennis Santana are potential safe guys for you in your leagues. Let's talk about some guys on waivers and let's get out of here, Gray.
Let's see. Wilmer Flores was he homered on Sunday, I believe. Actually, we should mention, is Alex Wood still throwing a no-hitter? Or should we do a whole segment about Alex Wood's no-hitter and then, like, cut it in if it happens?
If it happens, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, anyway, Wilmer Flores homered on Sunday. That was his second homer of the weekend, I believe. So that's, sounds like a hot bat there. Ryan Jeffers, similar situation. Two homers the past weekend. Derek Hall. Over in Philly, he's been hot since he got called up. That kind of goes back to the Jonathan Arenada situation where it's like, instead of looking for the best prospect, just look for the guy who's hot. Josh Rojas, as I mentioned earlier, as a replacement as a Wander Franco, Josh Rojas has been a little bit hot. Jose Miranda, I actually picked up Jose Miranda, in a 15-team mixed league just the other day because he's been really hot. I think he's like top 30 on the 7-day player rater. And Daniel Vogelback, bringing Jelly back. Yeah, he's been hot as well. So there's that.
Yeah, and I wanted to mention, because we talked about these two guys off the top, is it's Jonathan Aranda. It's A-R-A-N-D-A. If you listen to Gray's pronunciation, you may be going a little Arenado with an A on the end. It's Aranda. And then it's it's B-R-A-Y-A-N for Brian. It's B-R-A-Y-A-N. It's Bello or Bayo. It's B-E-L-L-O. So just so you know, when you go search your leagues, I always... You know, I wanted to let you know, because pronunciation is not our thing at the Razzball Fantasy Baseball Podcast, which you can follow us on YouTube at youtube.com/RazzballFantasy. Also, Twitter at Razzball for Gray, at RazzBDon for me. You can go to TikTok or Instagram, Razzball Fantasy. Anything else, Gray?
No.
All right. Later, everybody. See you next week.